The Last Dropout, Stop the Epidemic, or talking to author Bill Milliken. Why I was so interested in this book is we in our area recently have an organization that's coming in that's the school system is looking about hiring to address some of the issues we have with tardiness and truancy, things like that, which when I heard them talk said that many times that leads to kids dropping out of school. And so when I saw this book, I was like, wow, that is really timely. And I guess a lot of people don't think, it seems like dropping out of school is kind of old-fashioned, that maybe that isn't happening anymore, but that's not true.
No, it's absolutely not true. We, as the Gates Foundation released a report a year and a half ago called The Silent Epidemic, that ended up on the front page of Time magazine, calling us the dropout nation. We are losing a third of our kids. Half of that third are minorities. And in today's economy, half of them will never get a job in their lifetime. So it's a major, and fortunately the Gates Foundation got the nation's attention by showing that this is not only morally wrong, it's also an economic disaster.
Well, what are we doing that maybe other countries don't do? Why does this happen here?
Well, I think there's numerous reasons, but I think it took a long period of time. We had been, decades ago, it was the extended family in relationship with the faith community were the mediating structures for kids. And I was explaining what I do to General Powell some years ago, and I said, we've lost that safety net, and in its place, schools fell, and schools are now being asked to be mother, father, sister, brother, social worker, hall guard, everything but teachers. And he said, well, you just described my life in 2 minutes. He said, I grew up poor in the South Bronx. I fortunately had a mother and father that were both there and able to support me, but I didn't have a telephone, let alone the internet, but what I had was an aunt net. The aunts hung out the window watching us on the streets. The cop was on the corner. The preacher was at the pizza store. If I did something 8 blocks away, my dad knew about it before I got home. And I said, that's missing. And what has happened is schools now are being asked to do all those things, and it's impossible.
Yeah, it really is. That's just a huge... So given that fact, I don't know if we can make all the families stay home again and be like that. So what do we do?
Well, what we've done, and we started at one school 30 years ago in Atlanta, Georgia, where we got all the different people working with kids. There's lots of people that care about kids, both from profit and nonprofit and volunteer, faith-based. We said the kids have to run all over town looking for help. They need a PhD in system. Let's bring the help to where the kids are and surround the schools with a safety net of resources, from mentoring people to faith-based people to professionals, from Boys and Girls Clubs to Big Brothers, Big Sisters to 4-H. Get them all weaved together as a safety net to free the teachers up to teach and create safe, caring environments. We started in one school, as I said, 30 years ago. We're now in 3,400 schools. With dealing with the kids that are in the bottom third of their classes, the poorest kids, and we now have 1,200,000 kids, and we're getting them from anywhere from 40% to 50% dropout rate. Ours is between 80% and 90% of our track kids show improvement in academics and stay in school, and their behavior changes because they now have hope.
Yeah, that's the word, hope. That, you know, and I think, you know, when you are a kid, you just, even though you walk around very confident, you need so much coaching and guidance.
Yeah, I call it the valley of the shadow of adolescence. Somebody has to be willing to walk with them through it, because all kinds of things happen to kids at that age, and they need both that adult, and sometimes it's the parent, and sometimes if they don't have that, it's a surrogate uncle or aunt or somebody, a teacher who has sold out for that kid making it. I wouldn't be here today if I hadn't had somebody like that come into my life.
Yeah, it's just, you just need it desperately. You're not just, you can't just do it without that influence.
And that's why I emphasize that it's relationships that change people, not programs. A good program simply has created a healthy environment for adults and children to be together.
Yeah, because when you're making those choices, it just kind of evolves as far as if you miss a few classes and then stop going, and it can happen so quickly if there isn't somebody there right there to catch it.
Well, Rachel, you hit that right on the head in going back to the word hope. I'll guarantee you, in my journey, what I see, if a kid doesn't have hope, he or she's going to do one of two things. They're either going to destroy themselves with drugs or what have you, or they're going to destroy somebody else. But once they have hope, you can't stop them.
Yeah. What, now, The Last Dropout, Stop the Epidemic, your book, what do you hope people can gain from this book?
Well, thank you for asking that, and it's the main reason I'm giving all the resources back from the book so that we can fan this movement and get the word out that there is hope. What they can learn, and I felt the moral obligation, whether they have our program communities and schools in their community or not, I've laid out 9 basic principles I've learned over the years that I believe can be applied in any community, whether it's called communities and schools or whatever they want to call it. And I'll guarantee you, if you weave those 9 principles together in a community, you're going to have the same kind of outcomes we have.
Now, and people can get your book everywhere right now?
Oh, yeah, they can get it at Barnes & Noble or Borders or online at Amazon or Costco or in Books A Million. Fortunately, they've all embraced the book.
We're excited to talk about this because we are celebrating American Education Week next week in our school.
Oh, wow.
And to honor that, one of the little things we're doing on our morning show is we're having fifth graders call us and see if we're smarter than fifth graders. So
you better watch out.
Oh, we don't plan to win, but it is so exciting when students actually get the good people around them and just let them get through that time, because they're going to come out on the other end in their 20s and that just so much ready to go for it.
Right, and I'm so glad you're having them do that, because one of the 5 basics I feel kids need is a chance to give back and to be listened to, that the greatest gift we can give our children is to allow them to give something to us. And what you're doing by having them call in, you're saying you're important, you have ideas, you're part of this democracy, and you're part of the solution. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we're excited. Well, Bill, thank you so much for talking. I really appreciate it. And we will play this back probably a couple times, and we'll get the word out, and it's very timely for our area. So thanks for doing the book.
Well, thank you, Rachel, for having me on.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.